You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and John Budden in the studio with you today, looking ahead to Monday's racing, following on from a Sunday where there's actually no flat racing domestically, but plenty of decent action at the Curra on Sunday, and hopefully some decent racing to look forward to on Monday as well. Lord Budden joins me in the studio. Good afternoon, John.
Hello, Alex. Great to be here.
Good, and good to see you here as well. You've just arrived on the Carlisle Express, haven't you?
I have indeed, yes. What Bruni refers to as the Armthwaite Rattler.
What time did you set off this morning?
Well, about sort of 9:30. Wasn't too bad.
Oh, that's not too bad then.
No.
Okay. Well, we're recording this about 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. So just bear that in mind if you are listening. But hopefully we can point you in the direction of a winner or two. Been a fantastic few days of racing from Newmarket, of course, Lord Budden, culminating yesterday in the July Cup. And a really fantastic win from Harry Angel, who was given a superb ride by Adam Kirby, tactically very, very astute, and didn't allow what happened at Royal Ascot to happen again.
No, it was a very astute, as you say, tactical ride by Adam. And interesting race. I feel that Mr. Kirby was responsible for the victory in many ways.
Yeah.
Not least of the fact that he refused to be involved in a great sort of cavalry rush over the first three furlongs. But having dealt with the Irish intruder, he then slowed the pace down a bit. Mm. And, you know, that was absolutely fatal for several horses in the race, wasn't it?
Well, he sort of just said, I know I'm on a horse with a cracking turn of foot.
Yes.
And if I can dictate when I want to use it, there's no chance you're getting past me.
No, absolutely right. You see, now, I thought that the Tin Man would run a relatively sound race. Mm. And the reason why I did was that I thought, you know, there's going to be a very strong pace here, and the two horses who will be favoured by it will be the Tin Man for a late dash and Limato as well. And they didn't come into it because Kirby was so brilliant. And, you know, when he switched the accelerator pedal on going into the dip, Harry Angel quickened splendidly, and that was over. The race was done, and it was a tremendous tactical performance. And Caravaggio basically didn't have the speed to match it. The completely different race to the Commonwealth Cup. I was with Harry Angel at Royal Ascot, like a silly, disloyal man. I wasn't with him yesterday. Very stupid. And well done to Clive Cox and to Godolphin, of course, for buying the horse.
Caravaggio ended up finishing fourth and was away pretty slowly again, which is becoming a bit of a habit. And you could almost see Ryan Moore, even three furlongs out, 2.5 furlongs out, was really scrubbing the horse along. And I'll be honest, I wasn't particularly bothered by that, if that makes sense, at that stage. Because you know it's a horse that has, yes, a cracking turn of foot, but does need to be revved up almost.
Yes, it does.
It's not a sort of click your fingers and goes. So I thought, it's okay. And the uphill finish, I think that'll be good as well. And as it happens, Caravaggio just in the end didn't have the turn of foot of Harry Angel when it did turn into a real sprint.
Yeah, that's right. You see, done by Adam Kirby, who had kept that vital bit of acceleration and real speed for the last furlong and a half. And Caravaggio was left trailing in the wake. So, basically, was the Tin Man, who never got into the contest at all. And you could say that Limato was a bit the same. I mean, there was only one horse in the latter part of the race, and that was because of really intelligent riding by Adam Kirby, and also the fact that Harry Angel actually is a very, very good horse.
Yes. For all that we are lauding Adam Kirby, you have to say Harry Angel deserved to win a race like that on merit.
Oh, definitely so. Mm. I mean, I thought he had a very good chance of Royal Ascot on the strength of that excellent run at Haydock. And he was just done by a last-moment dash by Caravaggio, who won quite cozily. In that race, of course, Harry Angel had been taken on in the first half of the race, and so the speed of his acceleration over the last couple of furlongs at Royal Ascot was not evident. Mm. With Kirby riding a different sort of race at in the July Cup, things were very different.
They were indeed. Congratulations to Harry Angel and Connections, and of course you, if you backed it, listeners. So well done, and well done if you had any winners over the last few days, because it has been a pretty difficult punting time. Yesterday in particular, Lord Budden, Newmarket, Ascot, York, superb racing, but at the same time that doesn't make it that much easier to back a winner.
No, it was superb racing, and well done to ITV for putting on 10 races, in fact, which was a remarkable performance. Hasn't been done for really quite a while. There were one or two sort of really good wins. I thought Ballet Concerto was excellent up at York. Mm-hmm. Another very good ride by James Doyle. And, he's got a 15-day ban for excessive whip in the Eclipse, but he is riding very well. And he timed his challenge extremely well there. Incidentally, one of my favourite horses ran very much better, Clever Cookie, in the John Smith Silver Cup, finishing third. Yeah, he's not gone completely, and he might manage to pick up a race, perhaps, at York's August meeting for Peter Niven and his patient donors.
We'll move on to Monday's racing then. Certainly lacking the quality, I think it's fair to say, John, of the past few days, but still, a winner's a winner. And we'll start it there with the 2:30, a handicap over the extended 7-furlong trip. Now, just the 5 runners set to go to post here, Lord Budden, but that doesn't make it any easier at all. You've still got a real mix of horses. The 1 3-year-old down at the bottom really does stand out. Lomu has had 4 starts and has won 3 of them. So we'll start with Lomu here, John.
Yeah, well, of course, a stable in tremendous form, and there's no reason why this particular individual shouldn't add to the victories. I think there are question marks a little bit about the quality of those races, but very much in form, stable in tremendous form, and leads the Scottish trainers list as Mr. Dalglish quite comfortably, really. So you have to say that one's got a big chance. The one at the top is not without a possibility.
Louis Vaz de Torres.
Yes, Louis Vaz de Torres, Richard Fahey's runner with Paul Hannigan. The old team are teaming up really pretty well at the moment, Alex, aren't they? I thought perhaps weight might tie this one down. So if you avoid the obvious selection at the bottom, we've got two. We've got definitely Heir to a Throne, who is trained by Kevin Ryan. Now, Kevin's had obviously a stop-start season, having had that unfortunate time when the herpes scare caused the stable to be closed down. Horses are running fresh and quite well, but I don't think he'd be happy with the number of actual winners that he's had. Heir to a Throne is very consistent, has been in the frame on a number of occasions, and I've seen run well throughout the season, deserves to win. But I'm going to go for the old course specialist trainer, Jim Goldie. He's got strong steps now, which is a fairly recent addition to
stable. In the last fortnight, I would imagine, it was last seen 17 days ago, finishing second strong steps. That was at Chester, and that was when trained by Roger Fell. That was in a claimer, actually, so it could be off the back of that, obviously. But either way, it's in the last 17 days that Strong Steps has moved. But still, if you are racing at Ayr, it can't hurt to be with Jim Goldie, can it?
No, it certainly can't. And I think that Chester race was actually quite competitive. For a claimer, there were some decent horses in it. I'm not surprised that Strong Steps, who finished a good second, has changed stables, and he's come out pretty quickly for Jim Goldie. So I think he's value in this race, and I will go for Strong Steps to maintain what's been a fairly good sort of 6 weeks for Jim Goldie.
Okay. We'll stay there for the 4:30 over a mile. It's a handicap. It's a Class 2 handicap as well, and it's a really, really good race. We've seen some very competitive handicaps over the past few days, and this is another one. Really interesting race. The eye is immediately drawn to number 10 on the race card, Zabil Prince, for Roger Varian and Andrea Atzeni, purely because these connections, these silks, it's a fair journey, and the horse is completely and utterly unexposed and could well be much better than a group of northern handicappers. That doesn't tell the whole tale and is certainly disrespectful to a lot of runners in the race, because it is very competitive. But we will start with Zabil Prince here, John.
Yeah, well, absolutely right. Looks to be on a very decent mark, actually, for this quite competitive race here at Dale, which is worth, I think, a fair sum for a Monday afternoon. And my only slight concern is that an old friend of mine who is called Bill Harvey, who's been about on the Northern Circuit, the Scottish Circuit, for many years, he has always looked at Gosden, Varian and other big new market trainers sending horses to air, and you know, his finger would go onto the race card and say, that, look, all the way up from Newmarket, got to go well. And time without number, he's had to sort of look a little bit sheepish after the race because these Newmarket raiders have not succeeded. My theory sometimes is that trainers like Roger Varian and John Gosden and William Haggis, who has a runner incidentally in this race.
Not anymore, non-runner, John. Non-runner. Already a non-runner's way on, yeah.
I'm quite glad about that because I was worried about it. Quite often, they are sending their horses up to a place like Ayr thinking that they can pick up a reasonable race for what is nothing, a great deal more than the modest horse. But I don't think that's the case here with Zabil Prince. Got to go well, and the stable in pretty good form. They had an expensive loser at Carlisle, actually, when I was there on Friday night. Call me grumpy. Did exactly that in the race. failed to pick up at all. Paul Mulrennan riding for Roger Varian there.
But also had a loser at York in the race that we've already mentioned, where Clever Cookie was third. Yes. Barsanti was the subject to a decent bet from myself.
That was
very frustrating when the horse travelled like a dream, looked like it was about to go and win the race, and in the end the Godolphin horse, who's very much on the improve, and was, in many people's eyes, including mine, a doubtful stayer, proved to not only stay the trip, but absolutely loved it and will probably stay further.
Yes, well, you were quite possibly right. They weren't right as things turned out, but I mean, on form you were to back Barsanti. I'm not actually convinced that Roger Varian's horses are invincible on their trips northwards. And I thought that there were one or two local horses in this race, or northern horses, who definitely had a chance. For instance, the Carlisle Bell winner, Carnaggio, with Paul Hannigan up, left it late at Carlisle, but showed an excellent turn of foot to get up to win. That's got to go quite well. Just Hiss is another who is in form, may not be a very high-class form, but is in form.
And did finish fourth at York. Whether that one turns out again is debatable, having run on Saturday, but at the same time, that run at York was a cracking effort, and again, if turned out quickly, which we have to stress. At the time of recording, Just Hiss is down as a runner.
Yeah, absolutely.
But just one to bear in mind.
It is worthwhile bearing in mind. Now, my go-to trainer north of the border is Ian Jardine, and his horses are going extremely well. And the whisper from Carruthers Town about, now, something like a month ago, was back Hibou. Hibou will win. Now, Hibou took a bit of time to win.
I'm not sure if I was on air with you when you mentioned this, Lord Budden, or whether I've received the word from someone else. But Hibou has been a horse that I've been following for a while now and has been running well enough in defeat until last time.
And he won well at Hamilton. People would say it wasn't a great race, but actually there were one or two quite consistent northern horses in that contest, and Hibou won well. And there'd been such a lot of talk about Hibou that I'm tempted to go for him, despite the presence of Roger Varian's obviously well-handicapped and useful raider Zabil Prince. I'm going to go for Hibou to maintain his improvement.
OK, Hibou then in the Air Force 30, a cracking race there. We'll move a little bit back in time, and we'll move to Fos Las, quite away from here. The 3.15 is a handicap over 5 furlongs from the Welsh venue, and plenty of these know what they're doing. I think it's fair to say, Lord Budden, there's a couple of three-year-olds in there who are interesting, but there's a lot of older horses in here, or slightly older, perhaps, being a little bit disrespectful to a few of them, who are absolutely rock solids, and crucially for sprinters, a fair few of these do win in their turn as well.
They do. There are three which I quite like in this race. Fos Las for sprinters, it's a good galloping terrain, and you want a tough horse to see it out. And the two who've caught my eye in this contest are near the top. There are a secret fact, first of all. Mm. Malcolm Saunders. I have tremendous regard for Malcolm Saunders, and his horses, his sprinters, regularly win, and they keep their form throughout the summer. On the other hand, they tend to act really well on courses like Bath, uh-huh, tight track, Windsor, also similar, but they can win at Salisbury, which is not necessarily quite as tight. Whether Fos Las will suit what could be called a Bath specialist in secret fact is open to a slight question. Yeah. 3 times a winner at Bath, 4 times a winner all told, is that correct?
I think 4 times in secret fact's career and 3 yes. times at Bath, yeah.
And so only
the
one
away.
Was
at Chepstow, the other one.
Now, it's very much David Evans' territory. And although the top one is by no means a great horse,
Satchville Flyer.
Satchville Flyer, he is a consistent performer. Ooh. And in what is not a particularly high quality race, I think Satchville Flyer is the one to be on. David Evans has struck some, not a rich vein of form, but his horses have been running considerably better. I remember KP at Windsor about a month ago now saying, of course David Evans has got such and such a horse in this race, but you know, the Welshman's not having much luck recently, and he had a first 1-2 in the race. Since then, they seem to go in fairly regularly. So I'm going to stick my colours, nail them to the mast of Satchville Flyer.
OK. Satchville Flyer gets the nod done for Lord Budden in the 3.15 from Fos Las. The final race we're going to focus on this edition of the podcast is the 7.20 from Windsor. Another sprint, another one over 5 furlongs. And once again, a fair few of these know how to get their head in front. Not least, Lord Budden, Super Julius, who arrives here as the only 3-year-old in the race and seeking a hat-trick.
Yeah, it's got to have a great chance, hasn't he, Super Julius? Looks to me nicely placed, and that's something of an understatement, but by Eve Johnson-Horton. Her horses continue to go pretty well, you know, not perhaps quite in the purple patch they were 3 weeks ago, but they are running well, and I see no reason why Super Julius shouldn't go close, if not actually continue the winning run. There are a couple of others in the race, of course, which are worthwhile mentioning.
Well, we'll start with one, Lord Budden, who I think you mentioned to me off air, Step a Point, who's another one who ran on Saturday, was obviously well beaten in a better race at Ascot. But again, if turning up, I know that is a big if at this stage, but if turning up, would have to be respected.
More than that.
Because this is a much more... an easier race, quite simply.
Yes, absolutely right. Yeah. And Step Up Point's got a great deal of pace, and he holds his races pretty well. He's tough, and he's in his career, he's won some really good prizes, not just in the UK, also run extremely well abroad in Ireland, for example, and a number of very competitive races. William Muir will not run a Step Up Point at Windsor tomorrow if he is not convinced that the horse is definitely at his best after the weekend run. Now, if he goes, I will be on the Step Up Point.
Okay.
Because I do think he, you know, is the class horse in the race. A couple of others who lost form at the moment. Spring Loaded doesn't appear to be running particularly well. And you can also say the same of Light Camera Action, who still seems to be remarkably badly handicapped.
Well, was actually pulled out at Ascot. Was a non-runner in the end. Didn't go in the stalls. And in fact, just looking now, he's actually just just been confirmed as a non-runner at Windsor as well.
Oh, he has.
Well, so lights, camera, action will not be running.
So that gets said. I think to be safe, you've got to go for Super Julius.
Yeah.
You know, basically, here's the form horse, and there's no reason why he shouldn't continue. Were Stepper Point to be in the field, I would certainly, you know, give that consideration.
Okay. Fair enough. Right, thank you, Lord Budden. Can you just spin us through your four fancies? Two at Ayr, one at Fosslass and one at Windsor on Monday afternoon and evening.
Yeah, well, in the 2:30 at Ayr, we're going to go for Jim Goldie. Strong steps. He's just had this horse and Roger Fell. The good race in the 4:30 at Ayr, and I'm going to go with Hibou, Ian Jardine. The 3:15 at Fosslass, David Evans, Satchville Flyer. And the big one at Windsor in the evening, the bottom one, the only three-year-old, Super Julius.
Great stuff. Thank you, Lord Budden. Enjoy all the action on Monday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you very much indeed, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.